My wife and I have both been thinking about the prospect of getting old. It's a tough subject, and I know that many of you are on the same wavelength here in that this age, it just kind of creeps up on us. I mean, I still think of myself as one of the Hammer kids, but that's just not so anymore. Growing old, what choice do we have? What choice do we have? But it makes me think of the granddaughter who was having a talk with her grandpa. You know, she says, "Grandpa, you and grandma have been married for 53 years and you still are so loving towards her. You call her dearest, honey, sweetheart, love, honey bunch, and so many other endearments. What is the secret of staying so in love?" Her grandpa replied, "Well, you see, I forgot her name about 5 years ago, and I'm afraid to ask her what it is." You know, the Bible is full of examples, just full of examples, both good examples and a lot of really bad examples as well. So it's kind of the good, the bad, and bad and the ugly in all of these stories that we read throughout the Bible. But these examples, they're all for us to learn from. We all follow examples of others. When we're growing up, we probably followed the example of our parents. And let's mostly hope that was a good experience, you know, that they were setting a good example. When I look back on my young fatherhood days, I did not do the job I should have done. Honestly, in looking back, I could have been a much better example to my boys. And I'm sure we can all think back of where we could have set a better example to our wife, you know, to our kids, you know, to our extended families. But we're used to following examples of others, people we look up to, people that we admire, the servants of God that we've been involved with over years and years. Of course, we want to adopt the positive values and the virtues that we see in others that are good virtues. We also want to be a positive example to others. I want to be, I hope you want to be, a positive example to others as well. The question is, what kind of an example have we been exhibiting to others? What kind of example have we been exhibiting to others lately, and even throughout our entire life? Should people follow our example? You think that'd be a good idea if, you know, someone takes a good hard look at your life and how you conduct yourself? Are we setting a good example? Should people follow our example? Would our example lead people to Jesus Christ? Well, today I want to talk about the importance of our example. The importance of our example. The Bible contains many, many examples, as I said, that should be avoided. Examples of things you should not do. We're warned throughout these examples of the consequences of not following God, not following His instructions. We'll begin over in Exodus 23. In the early days of Israel, Exodus 23 and verse 23. The Israelites have gone through the Red Sea. They've been given the Ten Commandments. And then God has given them instructions. He says in verse 23, "For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." He's telling them what he's going to do for them. Verse 24, "You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars." God gave them very, very specific instructions. Don't serve their gods. I know these people are going to be setting an incredibly bad example. Don't follow it. Don't follow that example. Don't serve them. Don't do their works. You're going in among the people and you're looking around. Don't follow their lead. Do what I say. Of course, Israel did not do that. They just didn't do that. They followed the evil examples of the people that they were supposed to eliminate from the land. In 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 1, we find out a little bit more about the Israelites and how they conducted themselves. And Paul is giving this little dissertation here. He says, "Moreover, brethren," in verse 1, "I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." They were rescued. They were taken through the Red Sea and baptized in that way. "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food." They all had the same advantage of having God right there with them and taking care of them. "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now, of course, we've been called. Many have been baptized. And I would say that we can look at the carnage of the bodies left along the way, even in our church era. Many, many bodies left behind. But most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. "Now these things became our examples." Everything in the Old Testament, all the actions of the Israelites, they became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Evil looks pretty good. And sometimes it's easy to follow the evil. And it's much, much harder to follow God. Verse 7, "And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell." God continued to make examples of what would happen to those who did not follow his lead, who did not serve him. They died by the droves. And yet, Israel continued to follow bad examples and to set bad examples to one another. Verse 9, "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." Even complaining to God, "God, you're not fair. We're sick and tired of this food you're giving us. You're just not fair to us. Look at all these people you killed, and all they did was," whatever they did, "idolatry, sexual immorality. God, it's not fair that you wiped out all these people." You know, complaining. Verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." The Israelites were bad examples. They were bad examples to the people around them. They were supposed to be God's people, and yet their example was very, very bad. God wants us to take note of all of those examples, those bad examples that they set. If we turn over to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're not going there, but in 2 Peter 2, verse 6, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 6, we had a sermon from Mr. Horchek about this, and it was very enlightening. But in 2 Peter 2, verse 6, and it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and he condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. I wonder how long that example lasted, because Israel returned right back to their wicked ways, and Sodom and Gomorrah, this is before Israel, but the descendants of Lot did not follow God, you know, stringently at all. He made them an example. He burnt the city to the ground, nothing but ash, as an example. You would think that would get people's attention and they would pay attention and listen to what God has to say, but oftentimes not. In Jude 7, another reference to Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That fire burned them up for their evil. Those are examples of ungodly living that God was very, very displeased with. The Old Testament prophets, they set an amazing example of suffering and affliction and perseverance in James 5, verse 10. James 5 and verse 10. Turning the wrong way in your Bible. You have to know where James is. James 5 and verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. God had chosen them to bring messages, messages of repentance. And yet, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. If you go through the prophets, you will see what they had to endure to deliver on what God led them to do and asked them to do. They were incredible examples of good, of perseverance in the very face of death. Paul and his traveling companions suffered many, many things in order to be the example that they knew they had to believe to the believers. Turn over to Philippians 3, verse 17. Philippians 3, verse 17. Paul to the Philippians, brethren, join in following my example. That's right, brethren. You can follow my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul is saying, I'm a pattern. Yes, I'm a pattern. Later we'll see what he was a pattern of. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, and whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Paul is saying, look at me. I am setting a pattern. I am not concerned with earthly things. I'm not concerned with all the pain and the suffering that I have to go through for you. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse, beginning of verse 6. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Beginning in verse 6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, not according to the tradition which is received from us. If people are setting a bad example, Walk away. Get away from those folks. Verse 7, for you yourself know that you ought to follow us, for we are not disorderly among you. Follow us. We are trying to set a good example for you. Don't follow the example of the disorderly, even in your own congregation. Verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Paul was really cognizant of the example that he was setting for others. You know, someone has said that a good leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. A good leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. It's not good enough just to know the way. I think we all kind of know the way. Many of us have been knowing the way for decades. But we have to go the way. That's action. That means we have to follow the moral compass of God's law. And we have to show the way. How do we show the way? We show the way with our example. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also demonstrated that all through his life. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:12, 1 Timothy 4, in verse 12, he said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. He's talking to the new elder, Timothy. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. And sometimes when you're young, it's a little harder to be an example, because you have to gain people's respect so that they're wanting to follow you. But if you don't set a good example, they surely won't follow you. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And that's about three sermons right there, just in that line alone. How do we set an example? How do we set an example? With our speech. That's what he told Timothy, in our speech. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we know how to answer to others when we're questioned, when our faith is even questioned by others. We're supposed to have an answer. How we speak to one another. The respect that we give one another with our speech. It's also how we live our lives. How do we live? Do we live in a way that people can look at us and respect us and see the reflection of Jesus Christ? It's also in the way we love each other. If you're a leader and you don't love your followers, you're making a huge, huge mistake. We have to love others. In John 13:35, we won't turn there. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simple to say, hard to do. But we have to love one another. That's how we're identified. Our example is how we're identified as disciples of Christ. How do we demonstrate our faith? We live it. We live it every day. You live that faith. We share it whenever appropriate. There's times to share your faith. Absolutely. There are. In purity. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, Think on those things. Purity, having a clean heart. As David said, ask God in a prayer, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Because what's in our heart is going to be reflected in how we act. And it's going to be reflected in our example that we set. I think it's relatively easy to identify a Christian simply by listening to what they have to say and how they say it. You can tell if a person is a follower of Christ. If you get to know them, you'll know that pretty quickly. In 1 Thessalonians, we've been there. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 1, in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 1, we find out what Paul meant by, you know, follow me. I'm a model. You can follow me. He says in verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. If someone is not imitating Christ, I think you ought to be very circumspect about following them. Paul said, judge me. Judge me on what I say, how I act, how I conduct myself with you. Am I following Christ? If I'm following Christ, then you can follow me safely. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Christ. In 1 Peter 2:21, we see the ultimate example. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, Peter says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. We're to follow in his steps. Do what Christ would do. React the way Christ reacted. So we're exhorted to follow Christ because he's the perfect example. In Luke 9, we also see something else that Jesus Christ said. In verse 23, Luke 9, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me. If anyone desires to come after Christ, of course, you have to follow him. You have to deny yourself. It's not necessarily the easy way to go. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, take up all your burdens, take up all your problems, and follow Christ. Christ wants us to do what he did and react the way he did. It's recorded 19 times in the four Gospels that Jesus used the phrase, follow me, follow me. We're supposed to take note of his examples as we follow him. If you don't read the book, you're not going to know. You have to read the book. You've got to read the red letter edition and see what he has to say. We're supposed to obey him. We're supposed to copy him. That's probably the only thing in the world we should copy. Copy Christ. And the reflection of Christ should be seen in us as we pursue the Christian life. In Hosea 6 and verse 3, And go back into the Old Testament and see a piece of prophecy. In Hosea 6, we'll just begin in verse 1. Hosea is delivering a call to repentance to the northern tribe of Israel, who had gone way off the rails, totally. He was a prophet. He was given the burden of trying to wake them up. Chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. Stop all this foolishness, all these sinful ways. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. God's always ready to lend a hand. He'll reach down and grab our hand and lift us up. Only if we ask, only if we repent. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. I think that is a statement for all times. Let us pursue, let us know Jesus Christ. Let us pursue knowledge of him. Where would we gain that knowledge? They won't teach you that in school. They're not going to teach you that in higher education, in college. You can get a doctorate and you're not going to learn that. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. I'd like to turn over to John 7 at this point. John 7. And we're going to read some more words of Jesus Christ. John 7, beginning in verse 37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, well, first of all, Jesus is at the temple. The temple is loaded with people. These are the feast days, Feast of Tabernacles. This was not necessarily the last great day, if you study into it deeply. It was the last great day of the feast, however, of Tabernacles. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out. So they're all at their little stations with their scrolls. The temple is full to the brim. Jesus stands up boldly and cries out. He raises his voice, saying, listen up. This is important. I beg you to listen. So he stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, do we get that? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of our heart, will flow rivers of living water. By this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. It had not come yet. Last week we discussed the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. In preparation for that, many times he talked of the Spirit. But he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his heart, out of my heart, out of your heart, will flow rivers of living water. Are rivers of living water flowing out of you and out of me? This river of living water? What would that look like? What would this flow of water look like? We think about receiving the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, but brethren, it's supposed to be flowing from us, not just in us, flowing from us. Christ touched many people throughout his ministry with the Holy Spirit and through his message, his compassion, and his works, all good works. What are we doing with the power of the Holy Spirit? How are we using that power of the Holy Spirit? What is our responsibility in handling this living water? Are we touching others with the Spirit? What impact am I having? What impact are you having? What is our impact on others? We all have impact on others. We have wives, we have children, we have neighbors, we have business associates. We have people we meet in the grocery store. Literally thousands of people that we come in contact with in a year's time. What is our impact on those people? Do we have any impact? Would they notice anything different about you? Christ compared the Holy Spirit to a river of living water. What about living water? What is living water? Well, water, you know, satisfies thirst. And certainly this living water, this spiritual water, would satisfy the thirst to know more about Jesus Christ. So not only can we speak of it, we testify to it every day with our lives. Are we hesitant to share God's way of life directly? If we're asked, well, why do you guys keep the Sabbath? That's got to be wrong. Everyone else is doing something different. What? Can we answer these not so simple questions, but questions we must know the answer to and be able to testify? Water promotes growth. Spiritual water promotes growth in us, but it also promotes growth in others. Does our example promote growth in others that we interact with? Moving water is a very powerful force. We've seen that recently with floods all over the nation. We've also seen around the world, tsunamis and hurricanes. Water's a very, very powerful force. So we have to realize it's powerful and use it wisely. Do we see the force, the actual power of the Spirit working through us? Water is a powerful force. A river roars down its channel, passing buildings, passing people, passing all kinds of things. We're the water passing through this world. Hopefully we're making the most of being a good example. In Galatians 5:22-23, we're not going to turn there, because you know these by heart. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These fruits must be exemplified in our example to others, or else what good are they? We must use the force. As they say in Star Wars, we must use the force. But this is a real force. This is the force of the Holy Spirit given to us freely on our repentance and our acceptance of Jesus Christ. Are our words led by the Spirit when we're talking to others, when we're just talking miscellaneously to people we may know? Sometimes we have situations where we really have to exercise some control. Maybe your neighbor is horrible. Maybe your neighbor has 5 dogs and 5 cats, like my neighbor. And the cats like to come over and eat our birds. Okay, so this is a problem. How are we going to handle that? There's numerous ways you can handle that, but there's only one Christian way. And let's think about it. I'm not going to tell you how. But there's a good way, and then there's a wrong way. Our opposite neighbor. The people moved off. We had known them for 20 years. The new people like to sit out on their porch and smoke and have their TV blaring at a level that was just right next to our bedroom on the back wall. It was just driving us crazy. So how are we going to handle that? I said, I can't do it. I let my wife do it. She was very wise. And the situation was completely smoothed out and straightened up, and we've never had another problem. Now, maybe I would have gone in and probably messed it up. But we have to think about these things, because our example, that's a place where you can set a godly example, or you can blow it for all time. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. In Luke 6, okay, I'm going the wrong way. Luke 6:44. For every tree is known by its fruit. We're trees. We're known by our fruit. We just went through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit enables us to do, convicts us of, powers the way we live our life. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. So I've been a bramble bush a few times. I'm sure you have too. Maybe you've been a thorn. We have to be known for the good fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So every tree is known by its fruit. Be a part of the good fruit. Are our words led by the Spirit, and do they produce joy? Are we involved in making joy for others? Do they produce peace? We all want peace and harmony in our lives, both with our mates and with our children and with our boss. Takes work. You got to be thinking about it, or you're not going to do it. Are we gentle and kind? I know some fabulous people that are so gentle in how they just conduct themselves. And they're kind. I think they think about that. I don't think it just happens. I think you have to think about it. You got to plan it. You've got to determine every morning, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do today? Is the Spirit flowing from us? We are known by our heart. In John 4, in verse 10, John 4 and verse 10. This is a story about the Samaritan woman who comes to Jesus for a drink at the well. just going to skip down to verse 10. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus was offering the Samaritan at the well living water. We've been offered that living water. We've taken of that living water. That's the living water. The water he gives becomes a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life in verse 14. "But to whoever drinks of the water that I should give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." Is our fountain bubbling up towards bringing others to eternal life, as God is bringing us to eternal life? It's not only for us, it's for everybody. This bubbling fountain, this water, this force that Jesus Christ was offering. Do we realize the impact our example has on all the folks, all the people we interact with and meet? Do we realize the impact that we could have? We do get a warning. It wouldn't be God or Jesus Christ if we were not warned. Matthew 18, verse 6. Matthew 18, and verse 6 and 7. It says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to the man by whom offenses come." Just a small warning about your eternal life from Jesus Christ. It speaks to being cautious. In this culture we live in, it's easy to offend people. It really is. It's easy to offend people. And we can't be a party to that as best as we can, you know, control ourselves. We can't be a party to that. We have to ask ourselves, how do I respond to people online? Everything is text and Facebook what's that Twitter thing, you know? How are we handling ourselves? That will reflect on us. We've got to control what we say and how we say it. All of that is important. So it speaks to caution in how we conduct ourselves, but we have to be aware. If you're not aware, you're going to make mistakes. And of course we're going to make mistakes. No one is perfect except Jesus Christ. But we have to be thoughtful about it. We have to have an awareness of where we are on this continuum of, you know, following Jesus Christ to the letter and being the perfect example. Obviously, we're not going to be the perfect example, but we can be a very good example to others. We have to think, is this Christ-like? Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, you know, sometimes, you know, our outside activities could be looked on by others and you could offend someone. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Our example is very, very, very important. That's what this message is about. And this message is to me. It's to all of us. The Apostle Paul really said it best in Philippians 1, verse 27. In Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Yeah, the same spirit. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what he's telling us. In short, our example is very important to God and to all those we interact with. Let those living waters be an example in us to all the world.